Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. economy grew at a 2.4% annual rate in the October-December quarter. The Commerce Department says that it was downwardly revised from an initial 3.2% estimate, primarily reflecting a downgrade in consumer spending. For all of 2013, the economy grew at a 1.9% rate. European Union government ministers today are discussing the progress made in negotiations on a free trade deal with the U.S. Negotiations on the deal began in July but were partially suspended in January for the EU to hold a three-month consultation over concerns about some of the deal's proposed rules for investment. A broad U.S.-EU trade deal could provide a boost to growth and jobs on both sides of the Atlantic by eliminating tariffs and regulatory barriers. The trade volume in goods and services between the EU and U.S., representing almost half of total global output, was $1.1 trillion last year. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales, option origin sales, of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to Egypt during the 14-15 marketing year. Also this morning, export sales of 101,600 metric tons of corn to unknown destinations during the 13-14 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 16,292, now 16,303, up 31 points. The NASDAQ, 3712, up 10 and 3 quarters. The S&P 500, 1858, it is up 4 points. Joining us now with a look at the weekend agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A weekend storm that's going to impact a big part of the central U.S. is also going to impact the Midwest, and we're likely to see significant snow, freezing rain, and rain occurring across many areas from that region, and we'll likely expect there to be some disruption to travel across the region of livestock stress out there in the plains. The storm system will probably have the greatest meaning as far as being a positive event for hard red winter wheat country. Moisture totals out there run 2/10 to 3/4 of an inch, maybe something a little bit greater. Snow accumulations could run 4 to 8 and local 10 inches across parts of Kansas, and we'll look for snowfall to the north and to the west being a bit lighter. The unfortunate part for parts of that hard red winter wheat country is that the southwest plains will do poorly with this storm system, and that means that Texas, West Texas, including the cotton country there, as well as the winter wheat production region in the panhandle and areas northeastward into parts of southeastern Oklahoma, will probably not do very well with moisture. And we'll probably see that true also maybe for southwestern portions of Oklahoma. A few hundredths of an inch, upwards to a quarter of an inch, will occur in some of that region. That's not enough moisture after all the weeks and months of below average precipitation and persistent drought conditions to be adequately relieved. Another storm system may impact some of that area a week from now, but it doesn't look to be any more significant of a precipitation producer relative to this current event. In the heart of the Midwest, we'll likely see a wintry mix of precipitation occur from parts of Missouri and Iowa right on into Ohio and southernmost sections of Michigan. We'll likely see the band of heaviest snow come out across parts of northern Missouri and southern Iowa into Ohio. Mostly the northern part of Ohio. We'll probably look for anywhere from 3 to 9 inches of snow accumulating across a big part of that region. There's a fair chance that there'll be a couple of reports of more than 10 inches possibly. Now, areas to the south will probably see mostly a rain or a wintry mix of precipitation types. Travel will be slowed in some of that region too. especially from central and southern Missouri into parts of the immediate northern Ohio River Valley Basin area, where the wintry mix of precipitation is going to be most likely. Rain will fall to the south. We'll likely see some 1 to 2.5 inch moisture totals in some of the northern parts of the Delta and some of the Ohio River Basin. Moisture totals across the heart of the Midwest will probably run anywhere from 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch in some locally greater amounts. To the north, we'll see the snow taper off so that some of the northernmost portions of the Midwest will not see much in the way of significant accumulating snow. Some areas from the eastern parts of the Dakotas into Wisconsin may be left dry, but there will be some light snow in southern Michigan and also across parts of northern Illinois. We'll watch closely. There's probably not going to be quite as much heavy snow, perhaps in Chicago or Detroit, but there will be enough still to cause travel issues in both those cities. We're expecting the storm system to clear out fairly quickly during the early part of next week, and will likely take a nice break of about 2 or 3 days without any precipitation across the region. Another storm system will begin to impact the region as we get to the end of next week, but in the interim, we'll likely have a weak frontal system or two that will come across the region, producing some light amounts of precipitation. By far, this weekend storm system will be the most significant of this particular 10-day period coming up, with the storm system that occurs in the following weekend probably a smaller event. Bitter cold temperatures will continue to be the rule across the region through the first part of next week, and we will see temperatures below zero down into Kansas, parts of northern Missouri, northern Illinois by the time we get to the first part of next week. Snow will be on the ground to adequately protect most of the winter crops across this particular region, and extreme lows could get into the negative 20s and negative teens across parts of the northern plains, and there's even a chance for a few negative 30 degree temperatures near the Canada border. The eastern and lower parts of the Midwest shouldn't be quite as cold. I'm meteorologist Drew Lerner.
If you want to reserve your seat to the All Day Ag Outlook meeting this coming Tuesday, you can still do that today. What we will do, if you call 217-333-7300 and purchase your ticket, we will take those tickets with us, and you can get them the day of the event on Tuesday morning just by going up to the door, and we will hand them to you. Remember, All-Day Ag Outlook meeting on Tuesday, that's March the 4th at the Beef House. Beef House, Continental Breakfast, yummy Beef House lunch, a 25th anniversary hat. Yeah, it's 25 years old, the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, as well as a full day of informative information that will sure to help put a couple more dollars into your bottom line as the day progresses. All yours by calling 217-333-7300. Let's look and see how futures are currently trading. And as we do that, we see that March corn is 449 up one, May 455 up a half, and December 461 3/4 up 3/4. March soybeans 1403 1/4 up 9 3/4. May 1397 up 7, and November 1155 down a half. March soybean meal is 466.30 up 2.30. March soybean oil 452.70 up 110. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
I don't know how much I want to make about what happened yesterday in the March soybean chart, because May, for all intents and purposes, is the lead month, and it looks a lot better in May than it does in March.
Yeah, I think we did get up there, and I think probably the timing here has as much to do with yesterday's market as anything, since we kind of have the end of the month here, and I think that probably there was some profit-taking came into the market, and, you know, at lofty levels, maybe not so many willing buyers.
So
I don't know that it's that we can say that it's a turnaround necessarily.
Yeah, I guess that's the point I'm trying to make, is you look at that May chart. Meanwhile, on the corn side, we still continue to grind sideways with a higher bend.
Yeah, corn, I think, probably has, more room to move higher. But we are seeing, I think, on corn, continuing to see, as we make some of these new levels, that we see some cash sales getting made into the marketplace, both old and new crop, that, you know, kind of puts a little bit of resistance and a little bit of pressure against the market at those particular areas, you know, whether you want to look at cash or the futures. But, you know, that 465 to 470 area on December corn, for example, I think, you know, you continue to see some sales being made there.
Not surprising, given that so few sales have been made thus far for new crop. I would think, though, if we were able to punch that, you could look at 480 to 490.
Yeah, that 482 kind of is a number that kind of sticks out a little bit to me. But, you know, we've kind of had the pattern that we've been, like you said, punching. We've kind of been punched through at these levels. You know, 430 was the first one we kind of started mm-hmm. with. And on the old crop, and we just, you know, eventually we kind of run out of the people that are wanting to get the sales made at those levels, I think.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thanks, Dave. See you Tuesday.
See you Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Let's see how futures currently trading. May corn is 454 and three quarters. It's up a quarter. July, 458 and a quarter, down a quarter. December, 461 and a half, up a half. May soybeans are 1393 and three quarters, up three and three quarters. July, 1367 and three quarters, up one. November, 1153 and a quarter, down two and a quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3.